how many of you have always done right every single time since you got saved? Anybody in here? Because if so, I'm going to let you come teach tonight, all right? Because certainly you are the one that needs to be up here. I know I have not, and I think all of us in here can attest to the fact, since we've been saved, there's times when we struggle to do the right thing, you know? And there's a verse in 1 Timothy 4 that we looked at last Sunday night where Paul told his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, listen, man, you got to exercise thyself unto godliness. You know, meaning the same kind of the idea of righteousness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. In other words, that word exercise means literally to train yourself. And he says, you in other words, it's going to take some effort. You know, God's not going to wave a magic wand and make you righteous. There's some responsibility on our part there. And there's some training, some things that need to happen if we're going to live righteous and do the right thing. It's not going to just happen, you know, by accident. It's gonna be because of some choices we've made. You know, it reminds me of where Paul told Timothy, follow after righteousness. There's some effort there. There's some decision-making taking place there. And last week we said this. We said last Sunday night, if we're going to live righteously, it's going to take commitment, and it's going to take consistency. And then I didn't have a chance to get much into the third point there, but we were beginning to talk about the fact that it's going to take a competent coach. We said, you know, talking about this idea of training and how Paul used these terms of athletics, no athlete, regardless of how much natural ability they have, can make it to the Olympics without a skillful coach. Somebody who can hold them accountable, somebody who can help them in their training, somebody who can, you know, correct faults and when they're doing things the wrong way, correct that and say, no, you know, this is the way you need to do it. And in the same way, God has given us a coach, if you will. He's given us someone that can instruct us in the way of righteous living, that can instruct us as to what is the right thing to do. And of course, I'm referring to the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit teaches us, but the question is, what does the Holy Spirit use to teach us? What does the Holy Spirit use to instruct us, to correct us, to shape us, to mold us, to train us, to sometimes rebuke us? What does the Holy Spirit use? I want you to look at John 14, and I want you to notice with me a verse here. Look at John 14, and look at verse number 17. John 14, 17. He says, even the Spirit of, and what's that next word? What is the Holy Spirit called? He's called the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth, notice, he dwelleth with you, and shall be where? In you. By the way, is that true today? Does the Holy Spirit live inside of us if we're saved? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. We are living in a time period today in which the Spirit of truth lives inside of us. If you look at the Bible, you'll notice in God's Word, there's a definite correlation in the Bible between truth and what we're talking about, righteousness, doing right. There's a correlation in the Bible between truth and righteousness, doing the right thing. For example, I'll just read a couple verses here instead of having you turn, just for time's sake. 2 Corinthians 6:7 says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, and by the armor of righteousness. Truth and righteousness in the same verse. Ephesians 5:9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Righteousness and truth, again, in the same verse. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Truth and righteousness in the same verse. Titus 1:1 talks about, he says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, or same idea of righteousness. And so we see several times here the idea of truth and righteousness going together. In fact, Jesus taught that truth is the very means to sanctification. Sanctification just means a righteous life. Sanctification is another word for righteousness. And Jesus taught that truth is the key to righteousness. It is the absolute key. Without truth, you will not live a righteous life. Look at John 17. Let's turn over there. John chapter number 17. All right, look at verse 14. John 17, 14. Jesus here says to the Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then he said, sanctify them. Now remember, sanctify means to make righteous. He says, sanctify them through thy, and what's the key there? Truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also, look at this, that they also might be sanctified through what? The truth. So we see here that Jesus taught without truth, you're never going to live a sanctified, righteous life. So understanding that, there's three things that we have to do in regards to God's truth if we want to do the right thing, if we want to live righteously. The first thing is that we must allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of God to us. As we said earlier, the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth. When we believe the truth of the gospel, the Spirit of Truth comes to live inside of us. And he's there to guide us into all truth. Look at John 16. Go back a chapter. John 16 and verse 13. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit, there it is, there's that phrase again. When he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all what, church? Truth. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Jesus said. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Look at John 14. Go back to chapter 14. Look at verse 26. John 14, 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall, and what's the next two words? Teach you. Say a little louder. He shall what? Teach you. Teach you in all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, the Holy Spirit of God teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of Truth, and he guides us into all truth. Now, the question is, here's the million-dollar question, what is truth? What is truth? And we definitely need to define that, because if I can't be made righteous except by truth, and the Spirit of God's called the Spirit of Truth, and the Spirit of God has said to guide me into all truth, then I need to know what truth is. I've got to be able to define it. Well, how do I define truth? Well, there's three things the Bible teaches. Number one, God is truth. Do you all believe God is truth through and through? Amen? He's called the God of truth. Isaiah 65, 16. All of his works are said to be done in truth. Psalm 33, verse number 4. So God is truth. Do you guys believe that Jesus is truth? Say amen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am truth. He was sent of the Father. I and my Father are one. And so God the Father is truth. Jesus Christ, he said, I am truth. We know that the Spirit is truth. The Spirit of Truth, he's called. So we see all three members of the Trinity are said to be truth. But now there's one other thing. Look at John 17. Go over there again. John 17. We're flipping back and forth here, aren't we? John 17, look at verse 17. What did Jesus say? Sanctify them through thy truth, and then he's going to tell you what truth is. What does he say, church? Think with me here. What does he say? What is truth? Thy word. Would you guys agree, if God is truth through and through, can God lie? Then would you all agree everything God says is truth? All right, then if everything God says is truth, and if the things that God has inspired or breathed out, if the things that he wanted recorded are recorded here, and this is God's word, then that means this book is what? Truth. This book is truth. His word is truth. You believe that? Truth is defined. Look, truth is not defined by politicians. Aren't you glad for that? Alan, are you glad for that, Betty? It's good to have you home, you and Debbie. It's better to see Debbie than you, but it's good to see. No, I'm just kidding. Love you guys, man. Good to have you home. Yeah. Aren't you glad to be home? Amen. Well, glad to have you. How you been doing? No, I'm just kidding. So politicians don't define truth. Do the professors at college define truth? No. Do I define truth? I don't define truth. You know what? There's a much better arbitrator of truth than me, politicians, than Pastor Shannon, Pastor Rich, Pastor Rob, the deacons at Crossroads, you, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your grandma, your grandpa, whoever it may be. There's a much better arbitrator of truth, and that's God Almighty and his word. That's the definition of truth. Aren't you glad we have a standard of truth, though? It's not like, well, if it's truth to me, that, you know, that's right for me. You know, so many times, here's what you hear. You hear people say, well, just follow your conscience. You know, do what you feel is right. Boy, now, that's dangerous. I have never told my teenagers, do what you feel is right. I have never said that. All right? That is wrong. That is dead wrong. God has defined truth for us. God is truth. And that's why God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all said to be truth. And that which he has uttered forth and given to us in writing is truth. Thy word is truth. Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, you know, he said, you received from us the word of God. He said, you received it not as the word of men. He said, but you received it as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. He said, you didn't receive it as the word of men. You received it as the word of God, which he said effectually works in your life. So God makes us righteous by revealing the truth of his word to us. Now, how does he reveal the truth of his word to us? You know, how does he do that? You know, what method does he use to reveal the Bible to us? And if you could get this, it will revolutionize your life. Because God doesn't want you to be dependent upon me to spoon feed you. You know, and Brother Paul, I know you're doing one of the discipleship classes on Wednesday night. And the goal is not for them to be dependent on you, is it? To be spoon-fed truth. You know what? You need to be able to go and get truth for yourself. And the beauty of it is this. If you're saved tonight, you got the same Holy Spirit of God in you that I do. You got the same Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost and gave us this book. It's inspired of God, and the Holy Ghost superintended the writing of this book. As men wrote, the Bible says they were moved. That word moved means they were carried along. I mean, the idea of, you know, when my boys were little, hop on my back and let's go, you know. And wherever I go, they go. And that's the idea of the word, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit put them on his back and said, let's go, boys. And the Holy Spirit of God superintended the writing of this book to make sure that it was exactly what God wanted it to say. The Holy Spirit that wrote the book, the author of the book, lives in you. Isn't that neat? You can read a book and get a lot out of it. But would you guys agree with me that you would probably get more out of it if the author lived in your home? You know? If you got a great book that you like, just, I'm not talking about the Bible, just any book. and you love the book, and you read it, and you get a lot out of it, wouldn't it be cool if you could actually live with the author for a few days? Pick his brain. Hey, why'd you write that? What does this mean? I didn't quite understand this phrase. What were you trying to get at in this chapter? And the author who wrote the book sits down in your living room and says, oh, well, here's what I was thinking, and here's what I meant, here's what I was trying to get at. Isn't it neat to know the author of the Bible lives in you? He lives in you. If you're saved, if you know the Lord, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. I want you to do this. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you something really neat over here. 1 Corinthians, one of Paul's books, and chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Let's go to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now some people will quote that verse, but they leave out the next one. They'll say, man, there is no way, he said, to know this, to know the things God. But then verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? In other words, nobody knows you like you know you. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might, what's that next word? Know. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. If you're functioning in the flesh, he says you're not going to get it. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That word judgeth means to discern. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit of God to reveal the Word of God to us, to sanctify us through truth. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us. That's my point. You got to yield yourself, and you got to want the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you. It's like I said earlier, people say, well, follow your conscience, you know, and you do what you feel is right. You know, conscience is a function of the mind. Conscience, your conscience is a function of your mind. So let me ask you a question. Is your mind perfect? Are your thoughts and ideas perfect and sinless? No. Then let me ask you a question. Is our conscience, is it a reliable source of infallible truth? No, it's a function of our mind, and our minds are not perfect. So therefore, our conscience is not a source of infallible truth. Can your conscience lead you astray? Yes. There are things, I'm amazed in the ministry through the years, the things that people do that their conscience doesn't bother them at all about it. You know, it doesn't bother them for whatever reason. Maybe they have seared their conscience. Maybe they've defiled their conscience. Maybe they have been raised up in a home where that wasn't seen as wrong. Maybe culture, I don't know. For whatever reason, things that are black and white wrong, but they don't know what the black and white of the Bible says, and their conscience doesn't convict them at all. People today, I mean, you name it. It's crazy. So your conscience will lead you astray. But you know what the neat thing is? Hey, the Holy Spirit will never lead you astray. He's always right on target. He always moves our heart towards God's truth.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
You ever heard that? I've heard teenagers say that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, the question really isn't whether you think there's anything wrong with it. The question is, what does the Holy Spirit think about it? Because you see, what you think and what you feel and what your conscience says can be wrong. But the Holy Spirit's always right. The Holy Spirit always moves our heart towards God's truth. He will commit us to us. He'll teach us and commit to us and instruct us by the standard of God's truth. Conscience is going to convict you by your own preconceived ideas. And you can end up, if you follow your conscience, you can end up thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. So if a Christian really wants to live righteous, do the right thing, then you have to yield yourself constantly to the Holy Spirit within you and then allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of God in your life. The Bible says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And you know what the next verse is? That's Ephesians 5:17. He said, "Don't be unwise, but I want you to be understanding of what the will of the Lord is." You know what the next verse is? Ephesians 5:18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Do you know how I understand the will of the Lord? Do you know how I am made wise? He says you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Our conscience can lead us down wrong paths. The Holy Spirit of God never will. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth of God. But then there's something else here that I want to talk about just for a few minutes. And that is, not only do you have to let the Holy Spirit reveal the truth of God to you, but then you got to acknowledge and believe the truth. The Holy Spirit can reveal the truth to us, but if we don't acknowledge it and we don't believe the truth, then it does us absolutely no good. We have to choose to believe it. We have to choose to act on the truth as the Holy Spirit reveals it. If there is milk in the refrigerator, and say we were on vacation for a week and we come back and there's milk in the refrigerator and Denise isn't home and she calls me up on the phone and she says, "Do not drink that milk in the refrigerator. It is way past date and expiration date. And it's in black and white. It's right there. It's past the expiration. Do not drink that." "Dan, do you understand me? Do not drink the milk." And I say, "Yes, I understand you. Yes, I believe you. Yes, I know that it's out of date." But then I go in, grab it, and pour me a big glass and drink it. Does that do me any good to know what the expiration date is and to know that it's probably rotten? Does it do any good? No. Does no good at that point. No good. Buddy, it's salmonella time. And I've had salmonella back when I was in Bible college. And that is no fun. That is the sickest I've ever been. And remember that? I had salmonella, and Denise and I had just met working on the same bus route together. We weren't dating, didn't have nothing going at that point, you know. And I got salmonella food poisoning. She knew me from the bus route. And I mean, I was sick as a dog, had 104 fever. I was in the hospital for about 4 days. And wouldn't you know it, that this good-looking chick comes and sees me at my worst in the hospital. Here she comes in my hospital room. And bless her heart, she was just being sweet, but I didn't want to see her at that point, you know. Man alive, I was so thin and emaciated. I probably weighed 130 pounds soaking wet back then. And I was so thin I had to run around in the shower to get wet. Man, I was thin. And she came in there. But anyway, how did I get off on all that? Oh, the salmonella, yes. So you got this milk. You know what? It's one thing to believe that it's rotten, but it's another thing to act on it. And to say, you know what, I'm not drinking that. I'm going to take it, and I don't care if it costs, what does milk cost? $4? $3 something. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to pour it down the sink, because I'm going to believe, I'm going to act on what she told me. Only as we choose to believe the truth, believe it, acknowledge it, and believe it, really believe that truth, really act upon that truth, that's when we're going to be set free from besetting sins. That's when we're going to live a righteous life. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. The acknowledging of the truth, Paul said, which is after godliness. And those verses are not just talking about an academic head knowledge of Bible facts. There's a lot of people that, you know, oh, I've read the Bible through 30 times. Well, are you doing it? Do you believe it? Are you acting on it? It's not an academic thing that you just, oh, yeah, you know, I know all about the Bible. No, it's a spiritual knowledge that is taught to us by the Holy Spirit as He takes the truth of God and He applies that to our hearts. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth, we choose to believe it. And therefore, we are set free. That's the key to righteous living. Now, who is the father of all lies? Somebody tell me, who's the father of all lies? Satan. There is no truth in him, John 8:44 says. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in the devil. And we are constantly bombarded with Satan's lies. Teenagers, you are constantly bombarded with lies from the devil all the time. And we have to make a choice every single day. Am I going to believe what God says is truth, or am I going to believe Satan's lies? Adam and Eve, they made an unrighteous decision. Why? Satan blatantly opposed the truth of God, didn't he? In Genesis 3:4, and they believed his lie. The result, they died. The first sin recorded in the Bible there, well, the first sin by man, the first sin is a real picture of all sin. It stems from the lie, and then it leads to the destruction of true life. And when we sin, we choose to believe Satan's lies. Take your Bible and go to 2 Thessalonians, another one of Paul's books. Go to the right, several books, to 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. That is a picture, man. When Adam and Eve chose to sin, what a picture of all sin right there. You know, it stems from the lie, and then they chose to believe the lie rather than the truth of God. And the result was death. The result was a destruction of true life. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, and I want to bring out something here. Look at verse 10. All right, look at this. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, they did not do the right thing, in them that perish. They're lost. They're perishing in their sin. Why though? Because they received not the love of the what? That's why they're perishing in their sin. That's why they're unrighteous, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He's talking about in the last days here. And then verse 12 says, that they all might be damned. Who? Why were they damned? Because they didn't go to church enough. That's not why they were damned. Well, because they weren't good enough. That's not why they were damned. He says that they all might be damned. Who what? Believe not the truth. They believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, notice, through How did they get saved? How did they get to be one of these that are chosen? Here's how: through sanctification of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit made them righteous. Notice how: and belief of the what? Truth. That's how it happened. By belief of the truth. They had to make a choice to either believe the truth or to not believe the truth. Do you all see how important it is to believe the truth? It is the truth that sets us free from Satan's bondage. There's a great, great verse. Go to the right, two books, to 2 Timothy 2. Let me show you a great passage that just, again, vividly demonstrates this to you. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 25. 2 Timothy 2. Notice what sets us free. What gets us out of bondage? What gets us out of these bad decisions that we make? Look at verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, they're their own worst enemy, right? If God peradventure will give them repentance, notice to the acknowledging, notice what they have to do. They have to acknowledge the what? Truth. And that they may recover themselves. Nobody can do it for you. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know what he's saying there? He's saying we repent of believing Satan's lies. Repent means you change your thinking. We say, you know what? I've been believing Satan's lies about that. But now the Holy Spirit's revealed the truth to me. And I'm not going to believe Satan's lies anymore. I'm not going to believe them. I am going to make a decision that I will acknowledge and I will believe the truth of God. And he says, that's how you recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. You say, you know what? God's right and I'm wrong. And I'm going to believe the truth of God. Satan keeps you in bondage through his lies. And it's the acknowledging of the truth that sets you free. There's one other thing I want to mention to you, and I want you to do this. We're just going to look at a couple more verses. They're both in 2 Corinthians, so let's go there. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's turn over there. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm almost out of time here. 2 Corinthians 4. The battle is raging for the minds of every person, believers and unbelievers. We got a lot of teenagers up in the balcony here tonight. And there's a battle raging for their minds. Period. There is a battle raging for the minds of those teenagers. Satan wants control of their thinking processes. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, look at it. He says, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't believe the truth of God. Why? They're being blinded by Satan, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is blinding the minds of those which believe not. Believe not. Satan is in the business of blinding people's minds, but not just lost people. Do you think Satan wants to blind the minds of Christians too? I'll show you. Go to 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11. All right, flip over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll show this to you. Look at verse 3. And notice that Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 11, 3. He said, but I fear, 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your what? Minds. Right? And the Christians should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We are bombarded every day with Satan's lies via the TV, the computer, movies, music, conversations at work, books, magazines, newspapers. We are constantly being bombarded with the lies of Satan, with the lies of his world system. And Satan is trying to feed our minds every day with his lies. And if your mind is programmed consistently with lies, by your music that you listen to, by the TV shows you watch, by the entertainment that you choose to take into your mind. If your mind is constantly being programmed with lies, guess what? This isn't rocket science. You will begin to live by those lies. You'll begin to live by those false principles and lies. It's inevitable. Satan knows that. Satan's no dummy. He knows the battle is for the mind. He knows where the key is. It's the key. His power is in the lie. His power is in the lie. He's the father of lies. His power is in getting people. Teenagers, listen. His power is in getting people to believe his lies. Getting it in your mind. Getting the lies embedded in there. How do we overcome the father of lies? It's not by human reasoning. You're not going to overcome satanic lies by scientific research. There's only one way to overcome a lie. Can somebody tell me what's the only way to deal with a lie? The truth. You got to hit it with the truth, right? Without yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit and learning this truth, we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. Our life will be a life of sin, bad choices, bad decision making. Our life will be one of destruction. And man, I can't tell you how many times we sit down, we talk to someone, whether it's a young person, a teenager, an adult, and we say, listen, you're believing Satan's lies. The decision making that you're doing is wrong. It's going to lead down a bad path. Well, but I feel that it's the right thing to do. And well, I think it's the only thing I can do right now. And I think, you know, it'll be okay. No, it's not. It's not going to be okay. And destruction comes. And you want to say, I told you so. Told you. Why wouldn't you listen? You see, we have to saturate our minds and our hearts with God's truth. We have to feed our minds with truth. And if our mind is constantly being exposed to the truth of God, then we begin to live our life by God's principles. It's really simple. God's word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Our minds have to be reprogrammed. They got to be renewed, as the Bible says. You have to replace unrighteous thoughts with righteous thoughts. You have to replace unholy thoughts with holy thoughts. You have to replace lies with truth. As we feast our minds on God's truth, the Holy Spirit teaches and trains us in righteousness. I asked one of our teenagers the other day. I was talking to one of our teenagers, and I said, "Have you been getting into God's Word? You know, I care about this young man." And I just said, "Have you been getting into the Bible, man? How you doing? Are you getting into the Bible?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm trying to get in the Bible all the time, every day." I said, "That's great. You keep doing that." You see, you have to reprogram your thinking, and the only way to do that is with truth. You have to saturate your mind with truth, and then you'll begin to live out that truth. It's very simple. So, as we think about this thing of training ourselves in righteousness, godliness, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us. We have to then acknowledge and believe the truth. You know, it doesn't do any good to know it if you don't believe it. And then we have to begin saturating our minds with God's truth.